You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Polished Women. You welcome to Polished Woman Show here on LA Talk Radio. So wait, last week was so heartfelt, whatever. It's heartbreaking episode. So I thought, because of my friend's situation, and all of us actually who were in that show last weekend, I thought I would want to invite someone who specializes with suicidal or any problem that we're having right now. There's so much problem and there's so much depression, anxiety that's going around the world. So I'm so happy that I found the best one. I like really chose her because she's spiritual and she's a psychologist and she's beautiful. She's a polished woman. How many times have you felt like you were going through hell only to come out on the other side of the experience stronger than you've ever had before? While none of us invite want that pain in our lives, we may need the lessons that we wouldn't learn without it. If you're currently in the middle of a crisis, don't stop trying to push through it. Every step forward and every new day are a winning situation. So today I am joined by the incredible Dr. Sarah Neustadter, right?
Neustadter.
Yes. A spiritual psychologist who specializes in spiritual growth, suicide prevention, suicide survivor, grief loss, heartbreak, and millennial issues. She's also the author of the book Love You Like the Sky, Surviving the Suicide of a Beloved, The Story Behind Death and Love. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. The story behind, the suicide of a beloved.
It's crazy because I talk about love. This is my situation. I talk about love all the time. And then on the other side, you think about death. It's weird that how people think of that. So, Doctor, I'm excited that you're here. But first, tell me about, you.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah.
I do explore death and love. It's been a theme of my life and of my work. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry to hear about all the heartache that you and your friends have been experiencing.
Yeah. And I'm happy that they all shared it, in the show. That's why I said, I need to find someone that specializes on this and really talk to us about it. So I want to hear about this.
So a little bit about my background is I got into this very young. It actually is a calling. It's not a topic that I would intentionally want to pursue, but it seemed like it found me.
Okay.
I had a sibling that was suicidal when I was young. She made a suicide attempt when she was 5 and I was 7. So I grew up under that, the shadow of that. And it's something I've always just reflected on. And then, teenage years, my own sort of struggles in my 20s were really, really challenging. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in graduate school, my boyfriend took his life. And
I saw that. It's crazy. That's why I invited you here, because for me, it's hard for me to sometimes go to a doctor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, because I always like, how can you advise me this if this did not happen to yourself alone? And so that's why when I saw yours, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's been through it. I want to talk to her, because you experienced the whole thing. Not even you. Now you're telling me your sibling and then now your boyfriend. That's crazy.
Yeah, and to your point, exactly, when my boyfriend died and I was looking for a therapist, I was up in the Bay Area. I needed a therapist that had actually gone through their own suicide loss of some sort. Because otherwise, I wasn't going to be able to really believe that hope was possible, that I was going to get through this unless they had gone through it or something similar to that extent.
Is there really a hope, for people who lost someone, like my friend who lost her son from a suicidal, event. I don't know. Right now she's going through hell.
Yeah. So there is hope. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think so when it was happening to me. I honestly didn't think so. And I looked for books that could give me some sort of realistic hope, like somebody that had survived something like this at a young age, because I was 29 when it happened.
Wow.
So I was looking for sort of like younger sort of suicide widows, and I couldn't find anything about it. So I had to kind of get myself through it myself.
Okay.
And that was the hard part, and that's what I write about in the book. Because I didn't know if I would ever, love again. I didn't know if I would be okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't my heart was so broken.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 10 years since it happened, and I am actually proud and happy to say that there is life on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
For your friend, she's going through it right now. She's in hell.
Yeah.
I don't know how recently this happened.
I think it was 7 months ago. Sheila, I know you're watching, so, 7 months ago.
It's still really raw.
Yeah.
It's still really new. And especially for, you know, losing a child, that is going to take a while. It's not something she's ever going to get over.
Yeah.
But the pain will lessen eventually.
She told me about some thoughts, you know, like bad thoughts that curse on her, you know, in her mind. And she would cry and, you know, of course, anger that why it happened. That's very normal, right? Because you go through, I think with her situation, do you go through the five stages of grieving, or it's more than that for her?
Well, suicide is, experiencing the suicide of a loved one is a trauma.
Okay.
So on top of going through all the stages of grief, she's traumatized.
Yeah.
And so it can feel totally overwhelming on just a nervous system level.
Yeah.
So, and also with the stages of grief, it's not necessarily linear.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not like you go through shock and then bargaining and then anger and then depression then acceptance, like in a straight line. You're going through all of it up and down at any given day, at any given moment. So it can feel incredibly overwhelming.
I think that's true, because I just lost my father, and I was like, I'm thinking, okay, I thought it's okay, it's this first, and then anger, and then depression, but I'm like this. I'm like, it comes and go, It's just like, it's so hard.
It's really hard.
How do you cope up with that? What are the things that you should be doing for you to, while you're grieving, or how do you cope up with this?
Yeah.
What are the things that we should do?
So the first thing
And my friend, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is recognize that grieving is a form of loving. So the two are the same. And the more it's like a very bittersweet, painful kind of love.
Yeah.
But it's deep and it's raw. And so to kind of honor it for what it is, because you love this person.
Accepting it. Is that what it is?
Accepting that your grief is love.
Yeah.
And then also accepting that you're in hell.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that you can do. So there's different layers, levels of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to sink down to the very, very bottom of hell.
How do you change those thoughts? Because sometimes when you're there, it just pulls you down, like the whole thoughts of like, even if you say, think of good things, think of gratitude, sometimes when you're there, you're like, it pulls you down, right?
You have to go down. You can't think your way out of this. You actually have to surrender to the pull, but in a way that's moderated. So like, you still eat, you still exercise. You're still doing like daily things.
Yeah.
You're surrounding yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay like on the upper levels of hell by just monitoring your day-to-day stuff. I would also suggest, especially for your friend or for parents that have lost a child, be really kind to each other.
Wow.
Really kind to each other. Because when it comes to losing a child, a lot of couples end up separating because it's too unbearable.
Yeah.
And a way to help with that is to forgive each other, forgive ourselves, forgive yourself, and be kind. And forgiveness is a whole thing unto itself, but learning ways to forgive what happened and forgive yourself for not having been able to save that person.
And be really there for each other instead of blaming each other.
Exactly.
If you're like, you know, of course, in a marriage, I believe she told us that they were like having a problem, they were blaming each other, they were yelling at each other. And but then I think that transformed into loving each other more and being there for each other. And that surprised me actually with her situation. And but it's just the grieving that everywhere she goes, she has the picture of, you know, of her son and bringing it. But I want to ask you, why is this happening around the world?
Mm.
Why all of a sudden the whole suicidal thing is like happening all over the world now, and more and more are doing this.
Yeah, the suicide rates have been increasing, especially amongst teens and millennials. Mm-hmm. But it has been, suicide has always been an issue. We just have been covering it up. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, there have always historically been more suicides than homicides, except the media hasn't been reporting all the suicides because there's a tendency we have to copy suicides. So if you see of suicides happening in the news, people are more likely to copy that. So it increases suicide when we see it visibly.
Oh, okay.
But, and so it's been covered up for a while, but now it is happening more and more because social media.
Yeah,
is really impacting kids and teenagers' abilities to develop healthy self-esteem and resiliency skills because we're always comparing ourselves to other people's social media.
We're just talking about that.
It's like a fake reality, like that we're comparing ourselves to, and teens and our culture in general is way more isolated because of social media. We're not doing enough in community. We're not doing enough in real life.
We're not really communicating a lot now, right?
Yeah, we're communicating this very lazy, mean kind of way.
Yeah, oh gosh,
And it does have an impact, first of all, with our self-esteem, but our communication skills, our ability to give and receive nurturing, which we all need and have our needs met.
Yes.
The media also uses language all the time, like video games, movies, comedians, like they're always saying, "Oh, I'm just going to kill myself," like as it's a casual expression that means something.
And
the more you hear that,
right,
especially as a kid, if you're just hearing that from like the television, like I know a 12-year-old girl who went to an audition for a school play or something, and it didn't go well, but she left and she was telling her mom, "Oh, I want to kill myself." You know, and six-year-olds are saying these things, like, "Oh, I want to kill myself." And the more you say these kinds of things, the more it actually, like, sticks.
Yeah.
And you think that's an answer to whatever suffering or pain that you're in.
And be careful with the word. The power of word is very strong.
Exactly.
Don't say that, you know, if you can slap their face. Yeah. Don't freaking say that.
Be careful what you're saying around kids and teenagers because they pick that up. And it also, whatever you speak actually creates. So when you say something, it creates it. And you don't want to be creating a future for yourself where you're going to kill yourself as a solution to not doing well on an audition or, you know, a school play, that type of thing.
Does it also affect a child when a child sees you that you're going through a depression or anxiety? Does that affect the child as well?
Mm-hmm.
It does.
It definitely affects it. Yeah. On a very energetic, subliminal, subconscious level, because they're feeling it.
Yeah.
They're feeling that depressed, heavy energy, and they kind of take it on, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because they want to help the parents who are struggling.
Yeah.
So there has to be...
So what advice can you give the parents out there who are, you know, struggling with their emotions, having anxiety, depression, and they have kids that they have to take care of, or they have teenagers that are around, and sometimes you can't just do anything. You're just like, you're very vulnerable. You're just there, and you know you can't really hide it. But the thing is, for that person who's suffering, it's also hard for them to hide their own feelings. So
just be honest about it, so that it's not like a mystery. It's not like a white elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if mom's having a hard day, mom can say, like, "I'm just having a hard day today." And, you know, take responsibility for whatever pain you're in, whatever depression, and go find a therapist, you know.
Yeah.
Go seek help or find an outlet for those kinds of feelings, like a boxing class or journaling. Talk to somebody. I think we're all in... there's a lot of stigma around therapy, and there's a lot of stigma about admitting that we have depression, admitting that we're struggling, admitting that we have suicidal thoughts, which, by the way, are very, very common. Most people have them. We're just not talking about them. And so we just suppress them. And then it sort of bleeds out in these very unhealthy ways, and then, you know, everybody around you is picking up on it, you know, kids are absorbing it, or somehow there's like this unexpected suicide attempt.
Wow. How do you shift that energy from being, you know, depressed and having anxiety to just shifting it to just, can we just forget about it? It's easy to say, think of gratitude, think of this, think of, you know, good things. It's so easy to say that. Like, do you suggest that, no, just really seek help now? Or is, because I know you're very spiritual as well, is spiritual a big, you know, a big help as well?
It can be. Yeah. It can be. It depends on the person.
I'm very spiritual, so I think, I pray so much. I've never prayed. I prayed so much, but I think there's a time now that, okay, I think you have to admit that you really need help now.
Yeah, there is spirituality and there's prayer, and I'm a huge believer in a daily meditation practice or a daily prayer practice to help kind of ground you and dissolve.
We were just talking about this meditation yesterday, right? Look, what kind of meditation? Is it a meditation of prayer or a meditation of just like not thinking of, like just, you know, making your mind like set on just a blank, like nothing?
All of the above. There's so many different kinds of meditation. Okay. So just consciously sitting down for, let's say, even 5 minutes a day and seeing if you can make your mind blank by just noticing the thoughts that are occurring instead of reacting to them and focusing on your breathing. Okay. It's hard to do as a beginner on
I
your
know.
Own.
We were trying it yesterday, I think.
So you would want to do it with a teacher in a class or on YouTube, like put in guided meditation. There's some really good meditation teachers out there that are on YouTube. So just start to get yourself into that groove, and that can really eliminate anxiety. But more than just meditation, I think sometimes, and prayer, and I think prayer is helpful too. Really taking a good look and like reflecting on what you're feeling and admitting it.
Yes.
And working with a good, trusted therapist to help shift some of these patterns, because a lot of the depression and anxiety are patterns that we've picked up. Mm-hmm. Patterns of our thought, our thinking, patterns of our behavior, emotional patterns that come from childhood that we just need to become conscious of and start to do different things to interrupt the pattern.
Yeah. Do you believe that certain trauma from your childhood can affect all of this, or not even your childhood, but things that's happening, you know, in your life? Do you believe that this can trigger also, you know, your anxiety or depression?
Definitely. Yeah. Trauma definitely has an effect, because it's it affects your amygdala, so it affects your nervous system. And especially, so anybody that's had any physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse as a child is more at risk for a suicide attempt as they get older. And they're more at risk for depression and substance abuse.
So you suggest that if you've been in this trauma, like this, you know, things that you just mentioned, you suggest that seek help right away, or wait until you really like there's something wrong with me, or postpone it. You can go through meditation first, or you think find the root of the problem of why is this happening to you, and then like do meditations. What do you think is the first thing that you have to do?
Yeah, and depends on how old you are. I mean, if we're talking like 15 and under, talk to people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Open up.
That's good.
First line is to kind of start to feel safe with somebody. It's got to be, whether it's a parent, a sibling, a friend, you know, a teacher, like somebody that gets you. Open up.
That you trust.
That would be
right?
the first line. If you're, you know, an adult or, you know, young adult, and you have access to kind of being able to go find a therapist, I would suggest that. And there's a lot of affordable therapists out there.
Yeah, that's true. How if, it's very expensive, right?
It can be.
How if there are other people there that cannot afford to, you know, to, what is that? I just watched this Lady Gaga, what do you call that? Documentary. And she just said, like, wow, if I didn't have any, like, if I didn't have money to do all of these things and see what is wrong and the root of what's wrong with her, how, she won't be able, she won't be able to do it. She won't be able to, like, help herself.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, for people who just can't afford, like, what can they do?
Well, there are counseling centers.
Oh,
where
okay.
So counseling centers are training centers for therapists, and you can see an intern, so they're not actually licensed yet,
okay,
but they the fee is really low. Like the counseling center that I trained at here in LA, they were charging like $16 for this session.
Okay, don't forget. Listen.
Find these local community like counseling centers where you could work with an intern. Just talking to somebody and having somebody see you and listen to you and get you can really make a difference. I am. If you are spiritually inclined, I highly recommend yoga or meditation for like a daily practice of some sort to kind of shake off some of that like anxiety. And then there's also like I take a holistic approach. So then there's also creativity.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
How is that? Because holistic only came during like how many years ago? It's new, right? I mean this whole holistic stuff, oil, everything. What is your thing about that? Because when my husband is like, "You're so holistic. You're taking so much shit. Blah 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 blah. Maybe it's all the shit that you're taking that's making you, you know, fucking you up. Blah blah blah. Whatever." I'm like, "What? What do you mean you're so like?" He made me stop all of this stuff that I'm taking. But I'm like, okay.
I mean, if it works, what I say, whatever works, as long as you're not harming yourself or anybody else. Like, if your oils are helping you, great. I think it's like...
He's like, it's not FDA approved. What shit is that?
Blah, blah, blah. It's not FDA approved. Well, what's FDA approved, by the way, is actually what's causing suicide. So all these pharmaceuticals are the reasons why people are suicidal. So I don't know your friend's situation, but I would take a gander that that person might have been on some sort of prescription medication. And even if he wasn't, it was what happened to my boyfriend. He was put on antidepressants the week that he died. And I think that was what triggered it. So
see?
Yeah.
I told you.
See,
I'm telling you. That's why I don't agree on taking stuff that will help you for the meantime. Because I feel after, when you're not on it, then that's when it, you know, that's when you get crazy, right?
Yeah. So these drugs, and the New York Times came out with an article over the summer that 200 pharmaceutical medications actually cause suicide ideation as a side effect. 200 different prescription meds that we're all on, not me or you, but most people are on, are
like causing Prozac, all those.
And they have issued a warning label on these antidepressants that this could cause suicide in young adults. And this is a huge problem. Like, I would get, like, I'd also bet that Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, all of these celebrities who have killed themselves were on some form of prescription medication that made them suicidal. So I would much rather, I mean, I think antidepressants are useful in specific circumstances where you really can't get out of bed and you're being monitored for suicide ideation. But the way it's being, these drugs are being prescribed these days, it's making people kill themselves. So that's another reason why suicide rates are up.
Because of all, because they depend on
They're on medications that are making them suicidal.
How about Xanax?
You know, I
Xanax
haven't heard.
Xanax just relax you.
If you abuse it, it can mess with you and trigger that. But I don't think that's on the list specifically.
Okay.
But in terms of holistic stuff, I think it's great. Whatever works.
Like if oils and stuff.
Body work.
No, I've been using like, what do you call that? Lavender. And my husband's like, what the heck is that? Well, I need to, I bring
does it relax you?
I don't know, but they say it relaxes you. So I put it and I inhale it. I sleep like for about 10 minutes after that.
Oh, so it's doing something there.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. I mean, I think massage work, body work, somatic work. You want to sort of really address all of this because these are symptoms. Depression, anxiety are the symptoms. They're not really how we're supposed to be in our natural way. We're not living according to our natural sort of tendencies. We're just bombarding ourselves with stimulus that's overactivating our nervous systems or traumatizing us. And then we're trying to manage by prescription meds. So I said whatever works, like spirituality, holistic oils, body work. I don't think it's the solution to depression. I'm not saying that. But it's an aspect.
It's an aspect. But healing. If you think that there's nothing, like all, if you tried oils, you tried, well, they say that CBD helps with anxiety.
It does.
It does?
It definitely does. And it does help with depression too.
I don't want to take any CBD.
Take something that you're not going to get high off of it. If you take the right,
I can't even like I'm like one of those, and there I know a lot of people who are scared of taking pills.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, like actually most of my friends are, and they're like, no, we're not going to take anything. We're not going to take this because it fucks you up. Blah blah blah. And so I was like, okay, CBD or marijuana. But again, when I smoke, I get paranoid after.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm scared to take CBD.
Yeah, don't take CBD that has THC. It's the THC that will make you such stoned and a little paranoid. So CBD is a whole different thing, and you can get it without the THC.
Mm-hmm.
And it can kind of just like calm you down. And
So the effect is like Xanax?
A healthier Xanax.
Okay.
A healthy Xanax, yeah.
Natural Xanax.
Yeah. And,
oh my gosh. How do you know they're clean? How do you know they're
organic
good?
Ones.
Are they organic?
Okay. Organic or, yeah. I mean, you probably know more about this. But you go to your local, we're in California, so we...
Yeah, because I've read so much about it that CBD, like, really helps with anxiety. I've read so much, but I think that's like my last resort. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
How do you advise people to get in touch with the things that they feel are hurting them?
Well, it's not so much about...
Do you have to go back to that particular scenario where you had the trauma all the time, or you block it away? It's also bad to block.
Blocking it is not going to
do anything.
Suppressing
right?
it is just, it's just going to rear its ugly head at some point later. But I think the question is, it's not about getting in touch with the pain. It's allowing yourself, like removing the things that block you from acknowledging that you're even in pain. So many of us are just numbing ourselves and kind of going around, you know, with internet addictions and substance abuse issues or, you know, sugar, drugs, like alcohol. We're just kind of numbing what's already there. It's about letting yourself feel what's there.
What's there.
And really talking to people. Being in connection is really
people that will really help you.
Yeah. Even if it's just with a friend, like opening up. And once you admit it, giving yourself permission to actually feel what you're feeling. Because you're not gonna die if you feel sadness. Like, it's going to be okay if you let yourself feel loneliness. But we don't give ourselves enough permission to have these normal human experiences.
Does food have something to do with it as well? I've read this. That food, that if you're going through depression and anxiety, that you cannot eat certain foods. And,
I'm not a nutritional expert.
Yeah.
But from the little I do know, that food does have an effect on our mood. So sugar will make you feel more depressed if you're eating a lot of sugar and unhealthy processed foods. That will really affect your mood.
And I heard chocolates and caffeine. I heard it's really bad for you as well.
Caffeine can cause anxiety.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Especially, I mean, if you have more than one cup of coffee, or it will cause anxiety. And, you know, sleep-related issues. So cutting back on that, especially if you're a sensitive person,
mm-hmm.
caffeine can overstimulate you.
So how do you know if there's really something wrong with you inside your head or inside your body? How do you distinguish that? Like, for example, you just get depressed, you just get, you know, like you're tired, but then all of a sudden you're like, you feel numb, you feel like your tongue is going backwards. Is that like, How is that like bad, like really bad already, or how do you know that you're
about using the word like there's something wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
or that you're crazy.
Yeah.
But if you're feeling depressed,
mm-hmm.
and you're having physical symptoms and you're
mm-hmm.
not able to get out of bed, you're not able to function, it's really impacting your relationships.
Yeah.
It's something to reach out
to
talk about.
Okay.
We're not meant to be like that.
Yeah.
And on the other hand,
be happy.
are you familiar with Marianne Williamson?
No.
You're not.
No.
She's
I book.
Yeah,
Ooh,
she's
wow.
amazing. She talks about return to love, and she's actually running for president. She's amazing. She's a spiritual master.
Right.
Really?
But she says in one of her books, Tears for Triumph, which is an amazing book, sort of a spiritual take on depression, it's like, if you're not depressed these days, there's something wrong with you.
So like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, because like things are so messed up right now.
Yeah.
That, of course, like any normal sensitive person is going to feel sad or depressed about what's happening to them right now.
Okay, so I'm going to buy that. But first, I want to talk about your book.
Okay.
Love You Like the Sky. Why? Love You Like the Sky.
So my former boyfriend had these amazing, beautiful blue eyes that were huge. Oh. And they reminded me of the sky. And anytime he'd stand up against the sky, and I would just look into his eyes and the sky was behind him, they sort of became one and the same to me, his eyes and the sky. And so I wrote a poem about him and his eyes and how I loved him like the sky. This was before he died. And then after he died, it's just like, there's this, for me, the sky is like, I feel like a spiritual sort of connection with it. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like where we imagine heaven is when we think about heaven. And so it just became a natural title for the book.
Oh, have you ever loved again after him?
I have, just not in the same way. And dating has been a bit challenging.
For you.
I've been in a couple of relationships, but there's still was a part of me that was very protective of ever being hurt like that again. And so it wasn't fully available. And
so do you think you're fully healed?
I don't know that I'll ever fully be healed, but I've done a shit ton of work to heal myself. So I'm like 99% healed as best as I can. And it's just a matter of finding, I think, the right man.
Yeah. That will truly understand you. Oh, by the way, speaking of man.
Yes.
How do you explain to them, right? That there's something going on. Like, because they're like, I don't understand what's going on with you. Like, I don't know. Like, because I don't think they feel this. I don't feel men. Because all they know is to make money and have sex. That's what they know. But they don't really know the feelings of a mom and a wife and what you're going through. Like, you know, especially, okay, I'm going through menopause, I think. And women who are going through that stage, men don't understand what we're going through.
Right.
So it's hard for them to like really understand you and what can I do? You know, what
it can be. It can be. And I think men are learning. Especially in LA, men are learning to kind of get more in touch with feelings and empathy. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we're heading. I'm optimistic that, you know, all of the things that are happening in our world in terms of women right now and men, that men are becoming a little bit more aware, self-aware. Yeah. And empathic. So, you know, in my life, I just seek out the men that can you know, talk about things that are, you know, deep and emotional.
Yeah.
And men who do their own inner work or have some sort of...
It's so hard. They don't like talking about emotions.
Right. Right.
Right?
It can be. Yeah.
That's why you have to have a gay best friend.
Totally.
Okay, so when is this coming out? Oh my gosh, I want to read this.
So this is coming out June 4th. It is a heartbreaking story, but it is how I survived, like how I got through the death of my beloved.
I'm going to give this
suicide
to my friend. I'm going to give this. Sheila, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to buy this for you, my love, because I think you would need it. How about you have a blog?
I have a website.
You have any website?
Yeah, sarahneustadter.com, and I'm on Instagram.
Yeah,
Sarah Neustadter, PhD. So
okay,
if
you
want to,
surviving. You will see her on my, and on every, what do you call this?
Every show.
Every show
I'll
on
be
my social media. Maybe I'll invite her all the time whenever there's problem.
I would love that. Thank you.
Because she's so polished. She's like a polished woman. I love her.
We try. Thank you.
Well, I hope that you'll find, you know, the right guy. I mean,
me too. Yeah,
right?
I hope that I'm ready.
Maybe
I feel
we
like
can
I'm
exchange.
Ready.
I'll help you find your date. That's what I do.
You do. Okay.
I'll help you find the right man. Well, were you? I mean, how can they get in touch with you? By the way,
they can find me on my website, so
okay.
sarahneustadter.com, or you can email me at sarah@sarahneustadter.com.
Okay.
Or through social media, through Instagram.
Like, so, What's your book?
Tell it. Oh, my book is Date Like a Girl, Marry Like a Woman.
Yes, I do need your help. Yeah. That would be great.
I have, I'm teaching a couple of women now. I think there's one that I'm teaching. I can't mention the name, but there's one that I'm teaching that advising right now. She's getting there.
Well,
getting
we'll there. Sign up for your class. It's just fun.
She's getting there. It's fun. Yeah. It's all fun. So, okay, is there anything that you want to say to anybody who are going through this emotional breakdown or who are having thoughts of going through this suicidal? And because there's a lot of them. And I know that maybe, I don't know, 10% of whoever is watching right now are going through the same thing. What can you advise them?
So if you are feeling depressed or suicidal, I urge you to find other solutions. There are so many options out there. Mm-hmm. We live in this crazy huge world. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know yet what, like, even who you are and what could help you. So suicide is like the final option, but we think it's like one of the first couple of things that we should be doing in order to get us out of pain. So talk to somebody if you can, somebody safe. Like, explore who you are, explore life. I don't, like, even if you say you've tried things before, you haven't tried the gamut. There's so many resources and options out there, and so please like have a deep look at what's going on and see if you can navigate through it. I'm telling you, like, I've done it. I've been there on so many levels. Right. And, you know, especially when my former boyfriend died, I was suicidal. And if you have lost somebody to suicide, you are also
at
risk.
Do you got all those thoughts, bad thoughts as well? You got all those?
Yeah.
Like, there's voices.
I was feeling suicidal once he died. So you're at risk for suicide if you have a loved one that died from suicide. So something to know about that. But there is hope. Like, it's like being in hell, like you said, but there is an end, and there is an, like, a way out of hell. You just have to take one step at a time, but really you can't do it by yourself. You need a
and
team.
I think you really have to surround yourself with people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With loved ones. Because I think it triggers when you're, like, alone.
Yeah. And it does get better. I never thought it would get better, honestly. Like, I thought I was going to just, like, wither up and die. But as time went by and I did the work to heal myself, it did get better. And so I can honestly say that as somebody who has lived through all of that.
So did you seek help as well? You
Definitely.
Never took any pills?
No. When I was, when he died, I didn't take any pills. In my earlier, like, days when I was really depressed, in my 20s, I had tried antidepressants, and they helped for a little bit, but they didn't really do it. Mm-hmm. Finding, like, purpose and meaning for your life is really key. If you've lost a loved one to suicide, you need to find the meaning out of this for yourself. No one can tell you what it is, and to find some sense of purpose for your life will help you get out of depression. So if people that have a strong sense of life purpose, they're not thinking of killing themselves because they're so on mission.
So, on a mission.
Yeah, but it does get better. It just takes some work.
Wow.
And it takes community. It takes people.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for coming.
It's my pleasure.
I want to invite you again if there's we need more,
I'd love to.
People that we can, because this is what we do. This we help people, we help women, and this is what is that thing that you told me yesterday? It's a one show to help.
Oh, helping women one show at a time.
Women one show at a time. So
thank you for having me.
Time.
It's so important what you're doing.
And don't forget her book on June 4th. It will be out.
And you can pre-order on Amazon and all those places now. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So this is for my advice. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Don't give up. Trust God and trust that there is hope. Just what she said.
Yeah.
Just like she said, no matter what your hell is, don't stop. Find your faith. Find a doctor that can help you. Read books that can help you, or find a book that can inspire you, encourage you, motivate you to transform your thoughts into positive, loving thoughts that are full of life and light. So for my tip for the day, I think according to Dr. Sarah, you wrote this. Oh, I think it was one of your on your website. Give yourself 15 to 60 minutes of journaling. I think that that's really good, right?
Journaling is great. Yeah.
Yeah, journaling is great. Like, just write down whatever you know, the F you're like feeling right now.
Yeah.
And just even if you're mad, you know, or depressed, mm-hmm. just write it down. And if mm-hmm. you, I think it's a good, you know, thing to do.
It's and a great tool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm working on my journal book. So wait for that.
Exciting.
Yay. Thank you so much, Dr.
You.
Sarah. Thank
Aww.
You. And I'm going to have her again.
Yes,
she's
please.
So nice.
Oh, thank
okay.
You.
Thank you. And don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching this show. Cheers.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.